You're looking at me like you don't know me. I'm Scott. Recently retired after 38 years from Holy Spirit Anglican Church. And this is our first Monday, Thursday, not at Holy Spirit. And so this is kind of a new adventure for us. And Dan, of course, is away with his wife, Kristen, who's husband passed away, and so he asked if I might help my brother Andrew a little bit this week, Holy Week. And so, and Andrew's such a great guy. He's tall. He's great in many ways, but he's tall. Let's pray. Father God, we bless you and praise you for this night that you have created. And Lord, I just have a sense that, of course, you knew about this night from the beginning of time, that there would be us gathered here in this sanctuary, and that there was something you wanted to do this night in our lives collectively, but also in our individual lives. And so, Lord, we just surrender our thoughts and our concerns and the different things that have been going on in our lives this past week, even today. And we just surrendered those to you, that Holy Spirit, you could come amongst us, would come amongst us, and guide us into the things of Jesus that he has planned for us tonight. We pray it in your name. Amen. Okay, I asked Andrew what the scriptures were for tonight. And I really wanted to preach from John, but I had heard it was Luke 22, verse 14. So that's, oh, it's okay, man. I'm used to this. So I'm going to read this gospel passage, which is one of the other gospel passages that we often hear on Maundy Thursday. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at this table. For the Son of Man does as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be and who was going to do it. And a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? It is not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. To engage this passage tonight, I wanted to start with a story. And some of us, or maybe all of us, have had the opportunity whereby we were with someone, maybe a family member or a friend, but a person who was getting ready to go home to Jesus. Such a person in my family, I was thinking of today, was my mother. And my mom was a person that was just full of life and energy and all these wonderful things. And she discovered she had pancreatic cancer. And it moved very quickly. But one of the memories I have is on the last day before she fell asleep and later went home to Jesus. And on this last day, it was a special day. It was a day in this hospice room, and Claudia and I and the kids and there were some other relatives were gathered in this room, and this time was really critical. It was a time of laughter, of reflecting, of remembering, but it was also a time of experiencing loving one another in just a special way. I only can describe it as a holy time that we were together, knowing that Mom was about to go home to Jesus, and she knew it, we knew it, but it was really an important time together, to spend together before that event happened. And it became an important event in my life after it happened, remembering. Jesus, on this night that he was handed over to suffering and death the following day, he said, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." This verse just really captured my heart. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. When you read this in the original language and understand the Hebrew understanding behind this, Jesus was saying not simply that I'd like to have a dinner with you before tomorrow, but it was a thing of his heart. He was saying, I earnestly desire to have this Passover meal with you, to have this time with you before I suffer and go away. It's kind of a revelation into the heart of Jesus and his disciples. That it was important to him that he said, I'm eager, I'm hungry to spend this last night with you, my friends, as we celebrate this Passover. What was the purpose? There's several purposes. But one purpose was, Jesus was always getting his disciples ready for what was to come. And many times he had spoken about that he was going to die. He was going to suffer and die and be raised on the third day. But the disciples didn't always get it, if they ever got it, really. They got pieces of it. But on this night right before Jesus was going to suffer and die, he wanted to be with his disciples, and he wanted to let them know what was going on for the last time before he was crucified. And so he did talk about one amongst them was going to betray him. But he also said, wanted them to understand fully what was about to happen. And so he talked about the bread being his body and the wine being his blood. He was talking about that what he was telling them was that what's going to happen tomorrow is going to look horrible. It's going to be horrible, but what's really going to be happening is I'm going to be giving my body to be crucified. I'm going to be shedding my blood to be part of the new covenant, the fulfillment of the Jewish Passover. He said, talked about the word remembrance. He connected the word remembrance with what he was doing with the bread and the wine. And this word remembrance goes so much deeper than our English understanding of remembrance. Remembrance biblically is talking about. There's many ways people describe it, but one of the ways is it's something in the past being made a living reality in the present. So as he was preparing his apostles, the disciples, for what was to happen, he was saying, keep doing this, what I'm doing, because when you do it, you're going to have an experience with me that what is happening tonight is going to be happening in the future in your lives. And I will be there to feed you. I will be there to encourage you. I will be there to pour my life into you. In other words, it's not going to be just a memorial of remembering something from the past, but it's going to be something from the past that is made real in the present. One of the things that I've heard and enjoyed myself is when someone said, when you're celebrating communion, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you in the sacrament. And I know numbers of people that have had that experience where the Holy Spirit has revealed the living presence of Jesus at the altar, the holy table. They've had visions of the Lord handing them the bread, someone handing them the chalice, that it was so much more than just remembering something from the past, but it was a living reality of Jesus, a living Christ, encountering him. And then as I read more and more, I started to discover that there were people being healed as they received communion, that they would experience healing that could only happen if the living Christ wasn't in the bread and the wine. And so for the disciples, Jesus is encouraging them that you're not going to see me, but keep doing this, because when you do, you will experience me in your life personally. One of the things that struck me tonight and about Holy Week, and we'll see if I'm hearing God, is that I felt like the Lord was saying that for us tonight, that it's not simply the disciples or the apostles, as we say from the past, when he said he earnestly desired to be with them, but that the Lord was saying for us tonight, he earnestly desires to be with us. He earnestly desires to meet us in a fresh way tonight. He earnestly desires that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the things that get in the way of us seeing Jesus sometimes, worries and concerns and hard things of life, that those would be on the back burner tonight. We could put them there and say, Holy Spirit, come and reveal Jesus to me personally tonight. I have a friend who had a dream, and it was a dream about being in heaven, and there was Jesus, and there was the heavenly hosts and the saints, and this wonderful voice of worship and adoration, and just loving Jesus and just praising him, and the sound of all the angels, you know, when Revelation talks about all the angels, and they're all worshiping. And my friend in the dream saw Jesus, and as they worshiped him more and more, he would disclose something else of his beauty, something else of his glory. And people would enter into that worship as they saw him, and then as they continued to worship more and more, then he would disclose something else, unveil something else of his glory, of his power, of his kindness, of his love. And so that's my prayer tonight, that later when we celebrate communion, that the Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our minds in a fresh way to encounter Jesus, that we might hear Jesus speak words to us we haven't heard before. We might experience healing. We might experience his love in a fresh way. He might do things that we can't even imagine. But he's here tonight, and I believe he's saying, I earnestly desire to be with you people at St. Luke's this night. Can we pray? Father God, thank you that your love is beyond anything we could ever embrace, fully embrace or imagine. Your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, you are so good that the more we think about you, the more we just want to worship you and praise you and thank you for all that you are, for all the things you've done, for all the things you're doing. And Lord, thank you for the word that you earnestly desire, you long to be with us tonight, that we're not just a stop along the way as you visit churches, but Lord, there's something you want to tabernacle, you want to reside in a fresh way here tonight. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, that as feet are washed tonight, that we might see you, Jesus, washing our feet, that we might see you, Jesus, filling our hearts with your love, that we could wash other people's feet and serve other people, that Jesus, you would reveal yourself during the Eucharist tonight as we celebrate the sacrament of your body and blood, that, Lord, it would go so far beyond liturgy or something we're used to doing, but would become something that we would see you, Jesus. We would see you, Jesus, as we pray face to face. We thank you for this, God. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. All right.